Welcome to The Art of Construction, the podcast dedicated to helping you grow your business. Together, we'll explore the world of construction with some of the best minds of the industry. Your host, Devin Tilley, a micro-influencer and sometimes disruptor, will take you on a journey that will lead your business to the next level.
What's up, Art of Construction tribe? Today, I am in studio, and I'm going to start by a little story. It was, let's call it 6-8 months ago, and I'm going to raise my hand and say I was like really down in the dumps on where Art of Construction was at the time, because sometimes talking behind this microphone, it's a little lonely because you're like, all you see is all these listens, but a lot of people don't provide feedback. And I get a message from my buddy Mike Kirshner, who was just on the podcast, and he said, hey, the guys at Mill Creek are fans of your podcast, and they just wanted to meet up for breakfast with you. I'm like, okay, cool. And so I walk in and had this breakfast meeting with my buddy Sean Poor. At the time, had never met him. He had just listened to the podcast. But at that breakfast, he's like, you know, the kindling was getting started. And I said, oh, we got to have you on the podcast. And Sean has been one of those guys that's a huge mentor for all of us, who's the VP at Mill Creek Residential Trust and has been doing this a while. And Sean, we really want to focus in how to make multifamily in the construction industry better as a whole, but really around multifamily and system-built construction. I raise my hand and say multifamily construction, when I got into it in the past, it ate my lunch and I wasn't ready for it. So we paused and got out of it. And then I went and got my master's degree through the Master Facilitators program that now we're putting out to the public to say, you really have to understand a lot of penciling stuff in the multifamily world versus in the remodel residential is more like, here's the plan, just get out there and figure it out on the job site. But I can tell you, Tribe, the part where I'm so jazzed to have this conversation and share Sean's story is that I go around listening about how multifamily is all dead and it's not penciling. But Sean and I both were at conferences last week, and they're talking about how there's so many multifamily projects on the horizon when it comes to blending offsite and onsite construction. So let's move into the moving parts of this and get to know Sean's story. Sean, it's so exciting to have you here in the studio and unpack this. What's your favorite beverage?
Devin, thank you for having me on. Favorite beverage, you know, my favorite adult beverage would be probably bourbon. And right now I'm really enjoying Pursuit Bourbon by Pursuit United. Great group of guys. It's a three blend bourbon, really easy to drink.
Tell us about the favorite place you've traveled.
Well, you know, I like tropical vacations. We like to be on the beach, the family and I. You know, one of our most recent vacations was to Hawaii. We went to Maui, and we were there before the fires. Got to see how beautiful of a place it is, and we're really sad to see what happened in Lahaina.
Yeah.
And we're hoping for a speedy recovery for those folks, but we truly enjoy Hawaii.
Awesome. And what is your favorite hobby or interest outside the construction silos we're going to talk about, truly breaking down today, that you and I passionately call the art of construction?
Sure. Thank you. Well, when I can get time away from the house and away from the office, I do really enjoy a round of golf. It's probably my favorite sport these days. And outside of that, I love spending time to see my kids at their sporting events.
Well, you can definitely rate the master facilitators that know me well know golf and bourbon are my two things. So I'm sure you can relate how Sean and I definitely kicked it off together. But let's unpack this and share the story with the rest of you all. What is your story that led you to being the VP at Mill Creek?
Sure, thanks. So originally, I'm from the East Coast, mostly D.C. Central. Spent most of my career in D.C., about two decades in D.C., and then I had an opportunity to go west to Texas for a company, and I was working in Texas, and I have a very good friend that joined Mill Creek, and he sent a reference over to me, and we started talking, and eventually I came to Colorado. I came to visit, loved the area, loved Mill Creek, enjoyed what they had to say. Our four brands are Amalvi, which is our single family. Modare is our flagship, which is our luxury multifamily. Beckett is our new product, which is we're tagging as attainable product living. And Alistair is a product that we acquire.
Yeah, and I want to pause real quick there and just say, like, branding those different things to really understand how to niche in, but yet also being one of the largest is why we were so excited to have this conversation with you today and unpack what we call system-built construction. We're not going to spend the whole podcast talking about that because you can go back and listen to the last 50 and we talk about what the difference of offsite, onsite, what do you call it, all those types of things. This one is now we're stepping into the big leagues where, Sean, you've looked at a lot of these different things, right? And spent a lot of time. In fact, shout out to you and the team at Wells, where you and I a few weeks ago brought a bunch of your team out there to understand how concrete tilt-up works with all these different panels and walls and different things that we've figured out and called system-built construction. And now we're spending all this time in the room talking about feasibility studies around how these different systems can work and pencil in today's market around traditional ways of done it through traditional ways of financing, that we have to look at non-traditional ways that blending on-site and on-site construction has evolved. Can you talk about, as most of us, you know, we talk about the masses of 98% is this way, and we've been talking about this 2%. Can you talk about how blending offsite and onsite construction has evolved for you and your company?
Sure. It's something that we're really, really striving towards. In recent history right now, you know, we've always had some offsite construction. You know, trusses are one of those things that are an offsite construction. I'm sure you've talked about that in other podcasts. Prefabricated electrical rough-ins, panelized walls, and other areas. And exterior facades, similar to when we went and visited Wells that day on their infinite wall systems. So those are all types of things that are pretty traditional right now that we see. But more importantly, what we're seeing now is a volumetric. So that six-sided box that's going to show up and it's going to be fully finished and we're going to set those on site. And that's kind of where I would like to see, particularly this Denver market with Mill Creek, lean in and work towards this volumetric model here.
Okay, let's unpack that then. So we've had many, you know, the Ken Semlers of the world that are kind of the OGs of these volumetric of six-sided boxes, or many podcasts with Matt McMullen, our executive director, that is a licensed architect who's been doing that and taking traditional and doing six-sided boxes. Or Fading West, who we had Charlie on the podcast, who ironically is really the only go-to-market, as we sit here today in Colorado, factory that's supplying six-sided boxes to the market. If it, outside of, you can go in and buy a Fading West project, but they pretty much all have their own vertically integrated development team too that takes a lot of the capacity. And it's this, we don't have capacity, we do have capacity to understand, okay, if you do or you don't, should I jump in, right? And I think there's a lot of news out there with Colorado of there's so many funds and so much where it's so easy to do it, but it's actually to get to a six-sided box is a lot to it. And you can't just say, I'm going to buy a six-sided box from you on this project today, and then I tell you, you may or may not be able to get the box, depending on how you do it. Let's unpack that to say you, that's where you want to go, but today you would not buy a six-sided box in Colorado because of the logistics and the bandwidth and who has done it. Am I going down the right line with that?
I think you're right. Right now, I mean, there's a lot of barriers to entry right there, right? I mean, there's a lot of cash up front that has to be put out for these six-sided boxes. Colorado seems to be the leader, one of the leaders in the states with their laws and the state approving modular. So we're well ahead there, which is a great thing. But again, Colorado is also one of those areas where we're dead in the middle of the country, and we got the Rockies to the west, and we got the plains to the east. So the Rockies do, for coordination and logistics, is makes it a little tougher.
Yeah, that last mile, or from getting it from Nebraska to Vail, in our case of some of the projects we did, there's a lot of logistics that have to go from getting boxes outside of the area, even though Colorado is really wanting that to happen. So it's really like scaling up the whole master facilitator community together and maybe meeting in the middle at times to say looking at current business models and kind of adjusting those. What are some of the things you'd like to see done offsite to improve multifamily construction in whole? And then we'll niche in on some of those.
Sure. Things. And right now, we've been working, as you mentioned earlier, with D.L. Cohen on panelizing walls. And really, it takes a lot of the nuances off the project team, right? They're inside working through these drawings, making sure that the panelization is going correct, making sure stud placement, making sure structure is going well. All that's worked out in the factory before it's ever hit to the site. So we're very excited to partner with Ross on an upcoming project we have over by DU. And we're looking forward to that partnership. That's one item. You know, we talked about volumetric. It's just, it's not penciling for us yet. I think it's close. I think we're getting very close to getting it to pencil and understanding that. And really, it's bringing in our trade partners, you know, subcontractors to understand how these things are going together and where their scope start and stop.
Yeah, and you have spent a lot of time in your career figuring out how to pencil projects. And I have not, and I'm sure there's a lot of other people that out here that are listening to say, okay, I haven't really been inside the tent of, like, how does a multifamily project actually get from concept to vertical? And some of those challenges to talk through, you had mentioned in the beginning, like volumetric definitely looks like it's a way to get stuff on the job site to go up a lot quicker, but the upfront costs and, like, changing that. Can you kind of just maybe bring us inside the tent of, like, how you're sitting in meetings right now talking through how to change to make things happen?
Well, it's pretty simple. It's really, we use net rentable, or aka square footage, right? And we look at a lot of these calculations, and we've got it down to a point where we have a really good science on what we can take a look at a piece of a land and understand the product we're going to install there and really figure out. It's really, the driver is the jurisdiction, right? With the jurisdiction and what we see for the dirt, how much it's costing the dirt. After that, we know what the product is to be built.
In today's market.
And in yesterday's market too, right? We understand that pretty well. I mean, last year was pretty tough. We had a lot of moving parts last year. With the escalation was absolutely out of control. So we didn't really, it was hard to get a grip on that last year. This year, it feels like it's leveled out, you know, and we've even seen some trade partners come back with more favorable pricing as the market, it felt like it softened a bit, which is good to hear. It feels like we're headed in the right direction as far as getting things to pencil here in the future.
So we've been talking about how you guys didn't get to be the third largest by not knowing your numbers and learning from the past and getting where we are today. And now we're talking about things in the middle, like COVID hit to supply chain hit and things that aren't really in the numbers, to then say, just like, in my opinion, system build is one of those things that if you're not somebody like you who's going out and really building relationships and going to factories and understanding, it's hard to understand how to adopt those different things if you can't put yourself in those other people's shoes. And you've done a wonderful job, you and your team that I've met, but also building a culture of people who are actually saying, okay, here's how we're doing it today. Here's where we want to go. But kind of tongue in cheek, I want to say, okay, where we've come from in my 25 years of doing windows and doors and projects, we always talk about the data drop chasm. And if you're saying we got all that part, so are the plans just perfect and then you just send it out to your partners? Because as one of your partners in the window and door, we always struggle of, like, what are they really wanting here to niche into the project of where we're coming from of the plans when we say, okay, now we're going to change it for the future. Do we got the plans all dialed in?
Absolutely. They're perfect every time.
And I wanted to kind of hit that because I think that's that part of this dichotomy of, like, okay, we've learned and you got the net rent and the square footage and all these type of things, but yet the gooey middle of how you get there is still kind of wonky in some ways. So why don't we fast track this and leapfrog the status quo?
So it is messy, right? You know, it's kind of like the assembly line of Toyota or Ford. You know, we're not on the assembly line process when it comes to creating drawings because we have so many different variables. We have codes, we have local jurisdictions, we have cost in different areas that's different cost.
And you guys are national footprint.
Absolutely,
right?
National footprint, yeah.
We always talk about how all markets are local, but you have to have this kind of master process. But that's easier said than done, right? I've got to meet some of your great team members that are, like, here to start an office in Salt Lake or whatever to say, you'd think they have mountains like we have mountains, and it's just one state, you know, over. But it's actually not. Like, there's a lot to that, right?
There is a lot to that. I mean, just like you said, they have mountains like we have mountains, they have dirt like we have dirt, but it's not the same dirt. It's not the same mountains. It's not the same size of cities, right? So we don't have maybe the same size subcontractor community or labor forces in those areas. So there's outside influences on how things are done, and it's not perfect. I think, you know, when you move toward this volumetric style, you're forced to make a lot of decisions very, very early, as opposed to, let's just say, just the regular standard of making drawings, right? Usually when we go through that process, we're all sitting in a room and we're making decisions and we're kind of putzing along through concept and the schematic and into design. And we're just making these decisions along the way, but with the volumetric, you're forced to do it upfront very early. And you live with those decisions very early.
Well said. And that's, we've been having a lot of conversations around, you know, go back to podcasts we did, a deep dive with Trimble, and they always talk about one source of truth and like figuring out like what is the truth, where now you and I have had a lot of deep dive conversations at DL Cohen, figuring out how a great business that did full volumetric 30 years ago-ish, and now they're back to just, because of the codes, local jurisdiction and costs, they're just making flat pack framing off-site. But now different codes, local jurisdictions and costs are making us look at that differently, right? But then you have to figure out what sources of truth or what blending to come to a source of truth, right? So shout out to Ross Cohen and his team at DL Cohen. Last week, we kind of finalized the source of truth for multifamily partners with Mill Creek. We're going to work with MyTech, which you said at the beginning of this call, we've been doing trusses for a long time. Well, what's the company of software and is very recognized when it comes to offsite trusses and then floors and getting the keyword of engineering to where the architect, the designers are not putting a bunch of details about, is this going to hold up and these type of things? Because there's other tools for that, right? Of like the digital set, the physical set, and the build set of the sources of truth. And now we're really hitting, in my opinion, a sweet spot through the master facilitators to take different businesses that are existing today. And if we work together in a better way by still making our existing businesses flourish and getting a better number to the vertical integration, which is a scary word. A lot of people see that negative. I see that as a positive to say, if you have a few less line items that you can control better, that's what I picked apart listening in day-long meetings with talking, you know, the who, Sean and Ross talking about the backbones of Mill Creek and DL Cohen locally, but then understanding how to use that from a global footprint is you have to understand how it can work and taking and moving those things together. Because I sit in these meetings and no one ever says, you know, it's so much easier when I take a whole wall system, a big square box, and then they design it and they don't want it to be square. And then guess what they do? They go put a bunch of holes in the wall. And there's no issues when you go put a bunch of holes in the wall, right, Sean?
None at all.
And there's nobody that points the finger when there's a bunch of different people figuring out how to execute that on the projects, right?
Not at all.
Well, the reality is you say that on the phone, and we all say, no problem, no problem, and then you hit the job site. And that's why, at the end of the job, we always say, man, it's amazing we actually got this thing built, and we're still standing here with each other. And that's where the Master Facilitators Program, where people like you and I to just say, you know what, we've been doing this for a while, it's messy, but we're going to figure out how to clean it up, like legitimately. And I hope what I'm saying makes sense to say business is coming together to create more unified sources of truth.
Agreed. And you know, for me, multifamily has been this, it's a strange marriage between commercial and true residential, right? And it's a really awkward marriage that you don't get the complexity of commercial, but these buildings seem year over year, code update after code update, to get more complex, closer to commercial. But you also strive for the simplicity of traditional residential.
Wait, if they add more complexities, it's harder to figure out?
It is. It can be a little tough.
It gets really hard, right?
It's really,
like saying,
it's really
tough. Okay, none of these windows meet the code in this building, and you can't sheet it offsite because of the inspections and all these weather, like who has to see what? becomes really wonky on how to move things forward.
Yeah, and the new energy codes, right? Constant evolving energy codes have gotten more and more complex. And here in Denver, you know, the energized Denver requirements have gotten even more complex in these buildings than ever before.
Right. And then just a guy like me that you don't know what you don't know and you're jaded by what you think you know. I just see those big buildings and say, that's scary. And I learned the window part of end zones and design pressure. But then when I really got inside the tent of like back to we've chose MyTech as our partner with figuring out how to put these businesses together, because they mastered things like shear walls and how to the tie downs and actually make that stuff really work versus the experts like Ross Cohen show me how on site they're just kind of getting it done in some ways and creating, you know, compaction and all these issues that can be very scary. And if things settle and stuff, then all these other downstream partners get brought to different parties. We don't want to be at those parties. We want to be on the golf course talking about the next project, right? We're all in that boat, right? So that's what we're trying to figure out, to say, how do we come together to really, you don't know what you don't know and you're jaded by what you think you know, but if we come together, this source of truth works. And I think we need to all really look at that to get from our different silos to come together if we're going to get to supplying a full house offsite. You know, coming out of the offsite, we just had Tom Hardiman on this podcast who runs the conference that you just went to last week and people moving forward. But really, a lot of the talk was around getting the government dollars to execute projects and getting them inside of the new ways of doing stuff instead of how it was approved in the past. Anything you'd add to that?
Yeah, I would say it's also taking people out of the comfort zone, right? We as an industry, we're kind of archaic in the construction industry. It's been talked about for years. I mean, look how long it took us to flip over to a project management software like Procore. It took us years to get on something of that nature. And I think that's where we've got to focus on. Stop saying this is the way we used to do it. Now this is the way we're going to do it. We got to start looking toward the future of things.
Yeah, I totally agree. And we got to look at those pro cores and those MyTechs and say, how can we use our revision tools and put those together to say, how can they come together on projects, right? Like really, instead of all these different tools that are just to do this one thing internally, let's figure out, you know, I've been blown away with the MyTech Sapphire software, what it can do for building trusses. And, you know, MyTech is a company that sells the clips and does an amazing job of doing that. But they create all these labels and all these different cool stuff from their source of truth. Maybe we should look at tying that stuff in. And that's what we're doing through these different master facilitators. But we have to be able to add true value on projects. Because at the end of the day, to make change, I can't come to you and say, we're 20% more, but we're going to do this, 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 and this. Well, the value usually doesn't offset that price. So you have to find a way to still make it pencil and add the value and then have the project be more successful. And we're continuing to downstream and put that stuff together. That's how I see the excitement really building through System Built. What about you?
I do agree. And I think, you know, Ross and his company is a prime example. I could have conventionally framed the building and I could have definitely done that cheaper. There's no doubt.
On the front end.
But the opportunity there was one to bring a guy in that could help us figure out all the issues up front. And that way we weren't out there in the field trying to figure them out in the field. The guys are now focused on quality. They're focused on schedule. And they're not focused on why is this wall 3 inches where it shouldn't be, right? That's the advantage of paying up with a partner and ensuring that we're gonna get schedule out of that, we're gonna get quality out of that, and then that allows the guys on site to really focus on other things and not Ross and his crews.
Yeah, and you have to have partners like that are really operational forward, so that, like, I was just there last week with Anderson Windows and working a whole partnership, putting this stuff together, and we were walking through the tour, and Ross had one of his top gentlemen out there, and walking, and then he's like, oh, cool, there's our whole new labeling system. And on one side you saw the markers, and the other side you saw the labeling system, and night and day. But as them as continuous improvement guys, they started looking down, they're like, look, they went down the line, they're like, oh, at the end of the line, that ink should just be a little bit stronger so that you can see it better. And I'm like, think about the the continuous improvement and how proud they are of, like, it should be a little bit stronger on the ink. P.S. by the way, that project was for Mill Creek, which is really cool to be seeing this stuff coming out with these continuous improvements, and also talking about, you know, all these things about how they're going to store them and shipping them, and, you know, making sure their walls are square level and plumb when they leave the factory, but also when they're standing it up, and things that they could do better. They're looking at, like, the nailing pattern down to where that should be just a little bit more to the outside. Like, that's how detailed they're getting versus, I can tell you, on a lot of projects, they're just hoping the nails show up.
And that's a valid point, and that's why I love the process that we're going through with Ross. It takes out of, hey, do I have a 10-penny ring shank or a 12-penny ring shank, right? He knows that they're putting that in the factory.
Because on the job site, people just have to make it work because the next person's behind them pushing them along and storage and all these different things. That's where, to me, the secret sauce of moving system-built construction forward is not the shiny objects. It's the in-the-trenches stuff. Of, like, getting the right kit of parts working together and the people using those kit of parts the same way.
No, agreed. And one of the things you hit on there, one of our core values at Mill Creek is continuous improvement. And one of the things that Ross, I'm really pushing on him now, is to start drilling studs for our electricians on our continuous improvement. You know, I feel like Ross is always stepping up to the plate, and we're facing every challenge. And then eventually windows is another item I want to have him installed in those panels when they're delivered.
Yeah, and maybe it's not just installed today, but it's like getting to that point where we're now working on examples like that, where it's like, okay, where are the windows getting manufactured, and then how are they getting packaged, and where are they getting shipped to, and how are they sequencing to have these interconnected kit of parts coming together? And there's a bunch of cool stuff, and this is the hard part of, I raise my hand just like everybody else, and everybody signs all these NDAs, and everybody does all this stuff about their whole, they're so secret until it just, like, comes to market. And that's really hard if you have a continuous improvement lens to just see these moments in time when stuff hits the news, right? So that's where Sean and I and others have spent a lot of days just, like, getting into the weeds, and it's like, that to me is continuous improvement. You can't be an innovator by yourself. You have to be an innovator with groups.
No, I agree, and we have to, right? And for lack of better terms, we should be open sourcing, and we should be sharing with one another. And I wouldn't be scared to share anything with any of my colleagues or peers at my level, right? Because that's how we get better.
And
that's,
you've
how we
done
get better
such
in this
a
industry.
Good job of hitting it head on to say, okay, we want to do this, but this is what we got to do to get there, right? And that's what I think we really want to keep unpacking on the Master Facilitators Program. Okay, you and I both raise our hand and say, system-built construction is where we're going. Now how are we going to get there, right? And I think it's taken a long time for people to realize, I really want to go there. And at the beginning of this, you and I were talking about that. You and I were both naysayers, and quite frankly, we probably should have been, because it wasn't ready for that.
It wasn't. And I believe this year has taught us that we do need to pivot, and we do need to make changes as an industry. And system built's one of those areas that allows us to be more flexible. You know, I mean, Mike Rowe had a recent podcast, and, you know, we have tradesmen leaving the industry, you know, at a record pace right now. So, and those tradesmen are the people who have experience, and they're leaving. And what they're saying is that for every five that leave, only two replace. And some even say it's only maybe one replacing in certain markets. It's going to leave us with a huge void.
And we have to change to adapt to that, because unfortunately, a lot of those legacy tradespeople didn't leave a lot of really good records other than what the amazing stuff they built. And the quality of stuff has gone down when you go look at the stuff they just crafted and learned by doing over time. We now have to systemize that.
Well, yeah, and I think that's where the off-site system built comes into play, right? We're not replacing those tradesmen. There's been a whole effort of everybody needs to go to college, you know, from high school, and we've left a void in the trades. So we've got to find a way to replace that.
I love it. So as so much excitement around this angle, what is your crystal ball for the future when it comes to technology and construction?
Well, we've hit on one of them, right? I do believe manufacturing, also quote industrialized construction is probably something of the future that we really need to lean in toward in the system build approach. You know, we talked about the tradesmen dwindling here and for those reasons. The other item there is ESG. We've seen from our side, there's been a big shift in recent history on ESG, so environmental, social, governance. And we've seen a lot of investors kind of come in and really want to know what our ESG policies are. How are we building, you know, better buildings for the planet? How are we building better buildings for the tenants, for our associates who work in those buildings? What are we doing there? And quite frankly, we've been doing a great job as a company for a very long time. We just haven't been scoring ourselves. And what we did, you know, the last year, we did a lot of deep dives into our buildings and what we've built and what we're currently building, what we're building in the future. And we're seeing a lot of really great things come out of that we're doing a really great job. We've just never scored ourselves, and we never have went out and showed the investment community that we're doing that. But I do see that kind of funneling down from the developer side to the GC side and eventually to our trade partners. That's something that's going to be a big deal in the future is ESG. And, you know, we keep on talking about Ross, but I think Ross, it might have been a benefit to have him here.
We're now taking the deeper dive of the origin stories, right, of Charlie, the founder of Fading West. Well, Eric, last week we had to rework because he was on the Congress floor talking about Fading West and modular construction to the federal government to figure out how to tie this stuff all together, where he's out there telling the story. But Ross is the COO, amazing brains, have lived in this industry and knows so much about framing and putting that stuff together of like really getting in the trenches. There's a lot of stuff coming for that. So there's a whole nother story coming for that we're all going to excited to hear their story.
Well, my point there is that Ross is doing a really good job about trying to work toward net zero with waste, you know, with everything that he does in his current fabrication process now, which is just incredible to think about, you know. So when we as a big company and we look at these ESG requirements, I really look at that and say, hey, that's a great partner to partner with, right? It kind of aligns with our values of what we're looking for in ESG programs.
Sean, such great stuff. As we close this thing out, what is that one thing you want to leave our builders and affiliates that we call the master facilitators of the art of construction to go think about it and go out there and crush it and grow their business?
So there's two things for me. One is listen, all right? Oftentimes, I think we're really quick to respond. We're really quick to give our opinion on something instead of listening to our clients, listen to your workforce, listen to your consultants, listen to your workers, your associates, those around you. Take the time to listen to people. There's a lot going on with the world. We're consuming a lot of information every day. And I think it's important that we just take the time to listen to one another. And along those same lines is communication, right? We really got to work down from top down and bottom up communicating. Communication's key. You know, it's just, I got an email this morning from Microsoft telling me how I communicated this past week, and it was 400 emails sent and 1,300 read. And that's incredible that on both sides, right? Maybe I should send far less emails, and maybe some people should be picking up the phone far more. And just feels it's a very inefficient way of communicating. And we've got to work harder about communicating. You know, Procore, wonderful project management software. But sometimes the communication style there is just left to emails. And it'd be nice for people to learn to pick up the phone a lot more. And show up to meetings, you know, show up to meetings and communicate in person. I think we've missed this communication in person over the last couple of years.
I think we've dangled the carrot on a lot of stuff, but it all boils back to the same thing, right? Meet up, have breakfast in person with someone who's kindred spirits, figure out where we're coming from, where we are today, where we want to go, listen where we came from, where we are today, and where we want to go, and then communicate where we are today, and where we want to go, right? Sean, it's truly been an honor as you've been a guiding light for us as we've been jumping back into multifamily, because we truly see it as a great construction segment if you're going to get involved in the art of construction for system-built construction. And thank you for leading in all that you've done in this category of not just sitting and doing the status quo, but making sure Mill Creek is strong today, but looking at methods to be stronger tomorrow.
And Devin, thank you for bringing me into your circle. I've truly enjoyed it. I've truly enjoyed meeting the great minds, and I look forward to more in the future.
Awesome. And what I leave you with this is maybe it's time to get a little bit more leaner and meaner in a good way, using tools and platforms like ESG to really rate what you don't know and what you think you know to figure that stuff out. And so I challenge you all, just like Sean did, how this got here today is he reached out to Mike Kirshner. Shout out to him, who's an awesome network at ILC Studios. Go listen to his podcast to say, hey, I listened to this guy's podcast. Thank you for listening, Sean. And then circling back and saying, I want to meet this guy. I can't wait for the next one to share the stories of all the great systems that we're actually building through the art of construction master facilitators. Crush it out there, tribe.